I should say that before I look at my manuscript or anything that I plan to say, colleagues of mine are responding to this crisis in the UUA by being available to their congregants directly after the services this morning, which I'm obviously not able to do because of our vote. But I want to make sure that everyone in this space knows that I am available for conversation in the coming days or whenever it is that you may need or want. And then with no good transition, except a story. The story goes that each year a congregation gave out awards to recognize the good works and traits of its congregants. That year, whatever that year was, a new award was handed out, the Most Humble Person in the Church Award. The following Sunday, the man who won wore the pin he was given in honor of this accomplishment. Horrified, the leadership took the pin away from him for not being humble anymore. Tony, I have your pin for you. It feels fitting. It feels fitting that we gather today with thoughts on the spiritual life of humility. This is the sermon topic won by Tony Panzetta at last year's auction, and other than the obvious topic one would preach when being paid for her thoughts, this week's denominational affairs has called for a theme such as this. Now, UUA life or not, this is a tricky topic, and one that many weeks ago Tony and I recognized as apropos of the time. I'd wish that this was ever going to be a sermon recalling those grand and sacred moments of humility, standing at the base of a waterfall and feeling its force, reaching the peak of a climb only to see the heights of the mountains, watching as wild birds hop itself closer to the place I rest, that trust and willingness to exist together. Those moments in which we feel small but connected, reminded that we are but a blip of stardust, but stardust all the same, the spirituality of humility. But humility has a different or added association these days. If it isn't the internal work of our religious institution, then maybe it is our president of our country's rhetoric of certainty and infallibility that has many of us begging for a little expression of humility from our leadership these days. We also know that while many of us shout for moments of self-reflection and humanness from those out there, others of us are feeling the stomach aches of too much humble pie in our own lives. New parents who were once immortal spirits, now just surviving. Recent retirees who once held elite and powerful positions, again in a time of learning. Is it too strong to say the damnation of humility? We claim to value humility as a virtue, as a characteristic of our greatest teachers and what we want from our leaders. And yet the actual practice of humility, of being humble, can confuse the spirit. David Budbill's poem, Dilemma, is perfect. I want to be famous, he writes, so I can be humble about being famous. What good is my humility when I am stuck in this obscurity? The dictionary likens humility to meekness, modesty, deferential, and submissive. In the Christian Bible, personal humility carries the notion of lowering or abasing oneself in such a manner as to attain a place of lowliness. Now, let me just say, when reading this as a woman, I made some serious audible ugh that followed each of those words. And still, I admit there is an attraction to a life of modesty, to a character of gratitude at one's gifts recognized or named, to being in relationships that feel empowering rather than overpowering. And I think more to the point, there is risk in a life that does not know how small and imperfect we are, how vast and beautiful are our surroundings, how trust in existing together is the only way true and good power takes shape. What Tony didn't know in coming to me with this topic is that it's a theme I've struggled with for a long time. And in fact, I have been itching for a moment, not just here, but over the last decade of ministry, to name that of all the themes found in the index of our hymnals and books, humility is one that is glaringly absent. I think of this each time I come across an old New Yorker cartoon I've kept through the years, an image of a crowd leaving the front doors of their church, the wayside pulpit announcing the sermon title, "Blessed Are the Meek." And each congregant, when looking closely, held either one of those number one fingers that you get at the sports games, or a sign that reads, "We're number one and best religion in town." As a small faith made up almost entirely by those who left something they reject, it has been easy for Unitarian Universalists to have pride in what they have found. And we should be a proud people, not an uncritical pride, but pride because we examine our way in the world, pride that comes out of a homecoming and willingness to make home have a larger door and clearer, more transparent windows, pride that comes out of a shock that it's taken us so long to find a place like this, that there is such a place as this. But throughout our young history, our pride has also shown up from time to time as a tone of arrogance. Signs and speeches about how much better, smarter, more rational, welcoming, fill in the blank we are. Where is our humility, our theme on this topic, I've asked? Where are the songs that remind us how we are earth people of this life and its soil, humus, humility? And here's what I've learned, and probably why I haven't preached this until now. We don't want to feel duped again or taken by authority. We don't want to base our lives in given beliefs or uncritical culture. And above all, we don't want to be part of something that strips us of our power. We don't want to be humiliated. It's the same of our denomination's president as he tells everyone to calm down. And what I've heard in the country's president in 2 a.m. tweets, and recognized of myself when I puff up rather than open my heart. We are far better at protecting ourselves against humiliation than practicing humility. And to an untrained spirit, the two are hard to separate. Ralph Waldo Emerson said, "A great man is always willing to be little." Not little as in small, but someone who knew their place in the enormity of history and the world. Jonathan Sacks writes that humility signals an openness to life's grandeur and the willingness to be surprised. UU Reverend Josh Pollock has written, and this is beautiful, "Humility is a character trait, a demeanor, a manner, a personality type, a way of holding or conducting oneself that creates space for others, that allows others to breathe. It's a way of moving lightly through the world, walking softly upon the earth. It's an open, inviting, welcoming, hospitable way of engaging others. It's a way of service. It is a virtue." And then my favorite, if you can beat that one, Unitarian Universalist minister Reverend Barbara Wells Tenhove, whose father taught her, "To be humble was to remain teachable." I love each of these descriptions of a virtue I wish I saw and expressed more in the world. It's just that it's so damn hard. A spirituality of humility inherently asks us to feel our greatness, but only because we are a part of something much greater than ourselves alone. That is not what we are taught. That is not the American way. We have been bred to stand out, assured of our uniqueness, and encouraged to cultivate our entrepreneurial spirit, worth and success that is bound in the mark left by our one precious life. So then to live a life of humility, to open ourselves to the student heart, or to learn because we have done it wrong, that is a hard spiritual practice to make time for. There's a story from the Hasidic masters. A visitor from Hungary asks a stranger for directions. "Can you please direct me to the home of the great Rabbi Elimelech?" The stranger raised his eyes in astonishment. "You mean to tell me you journeyed all this way to this rabbi? Have the exaggerations and embellishments about this man traveled that far already? I know this Rabbi Elimelech personally, and the man is an absolute zero." I know why you're laughing. That's actually the quote in the story. "I'm afraid that you've wasted your time and money on these silly rumors." The visitor was outraged. "You lowly, despicable man," he thundered. "What do you know? You obviously have no understanding of anything holy or spiritual." Still fuming, the visitor stormed off. And later that day, when the traveler entered Rabbi Elimelech's study for his long-awaited time with the teacher, he nearly fainted in shame and remorse. The man he had derided earlier on the street was none other than Rabbi Elimelech. With tears in his eyes, he begged the rabbi's forgiveness. "Why are you so upset?" asked the rabbi. "There's no need to apologize. I told you the simple truth, and everything you said was also true." The thing about saying yes to a life of humility is that it is a life of humility. It's not going to wait for us to say yes to it. All of us, whether we speak from high pulpits or climb enormous mountains, we are but a part of the interdependence and impermanence that is this life. We've been given false narratives about what we can protect ourselves from. Success or money, power or leadership, more rational or more welcoming, we are still small. And dare I say, beautiful for it. There is power in creating space that allows others to breathe, and serving the world by living in wonder, always assuming there is more to learn. There's purpose and success and a mark to be left in a willingness to be surprised. The pain comes, the defensiveness, the pride and arrogance, when we feel our smallness and learning as a failure and a risk to our personhood. We are each the lowly and the spiritual, the despicable and the greatest teacher. Life will not wait for us to practice humility, but we can fall in love with it. That is the work before us, to fall in love with our smallness, and from such recognize our greatness, a truly exalted existence and preciousness in being of the earth. At his death, friends discovered two notes sewn into the pockets of the great philosopher Pascal's coat. In one pocket, it said, "We are made of dust and ashes." And in the other, "We are made of the stuff of stars." May we each be as notable, remarkable, and excellent in our spiritual practice of humility. And may this guide our journey in the time to come. Blessed be, and amen.